Jump around cause you're feeling happy and wave your hand up in the party and want even know some house money ready and put the microphone in and we're feeling sexy and what if I girls you know them love mousy and shot me shot cause you know me.
I hear your food digesting.
Ah, eargasm, that's what it is.
It's a good name for a podcast.
Write that down quick.
Rebrand every week.
Like. I just gave you a brand new idea. Yeah? Oh, stop.
That's one of the hardest things, isn't it, though? Coming up with your name for the podcast when you have the idea.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
It's tough.
And mine was fucking, it's always been the same
shit.
Simple,
like.
Yeah. That was it. It was my nickname in school. Like,
was it, yeah?
Yeah. I was a big fat cunt in school.
So
it
comes from somewhere.
Yeah.
Big hips on me when I was younger. Like.
Yeah. Closer to the mic, please.
So are we recording?
Yeah.
Oh, are we recording?
I think we are. Yeah.
I think we're good. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I was waiting
are
for
we
that.
On?
Yeah. No. No. She's gone on. So we're on. I'm sure we're on.
Oh fuck. That's an
we're
interesting
on.
Start.
Let's just say we're on. Yeah. Mm. We're on.
Oh yeah. You can see recording.
Yeah.
All right. On. Lovely.
We're good to go.
Rui. So shouldn't be name your podcast the Airgasm Podcast if you want.
I'm too invested in the Pear brand now because it's my freelance business's Pear Creative, so it's all Pear, isn't it? My ma's bought me so many Pear ornaments over the years.
Yeah.
All over my gaff. I swear to God, they're all over my gaff. Little like silver ones and all.
Yeah. I think my yoke's a bit quiet. Should we raise that a bit? Yo. Yeah.
Is it going up, yeah?
It's perfect, yeah. There you go.
Can you hear me, yeah?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oi.
Hello.
Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah, that's perfect.
Right, happy days. Let's do it.
How are you able to operate that? Because I never knew how to operate this one.
I don't know how to operate. I just don't know up and down as we're going.
The knob goes two ways. Yeah. Like.
You can't measure up. You know what I mean? The
thing just goes on fire. Like.
Volume. Yeah, we don't usually do intros, don't we? No, but... It's
no,
us with the full time podcast. We're with Sam from the Pear Pod. Just to let you know before we go into a little chat, that's that all the way.
What was it episode
53?
Yeah,
fair play.
Episode 53.
Episode 4 for me, is it? 5. It's 5, isn't it? 4 guests and 1 with me and you.
I'm useless with numbers, bro.
This is our 4th guest and then 1 with me and you, yeah.
Episode 6, if you think.
Yeah.
You were the guest as well.
Yeah, I was a guest as well, as we count that, but yeah.
Episode 5 and a half.
Let's get into it.
That episode with you as a guest is disallowed.
Yeah. Take it away.
This weekend, man, that offside for United, load of bollocks.
Yeah. What's it all about?
It was onside.
What's it all about? We see all these new rules they're trying to bring in, though, that has to benefit the attacking footballer or the attacking player. You're drawing lines that are literally millimeters, if even.
Yeah.
And where did they draw the line on Garnacho?
Because he was off his shoulder or something.
Yeah,
it was wild.
You can't score with your shoulder. Yeah. If we'd done a podcast every week, I guarantee you we could talk about VAR every week. I could guarantee it. There's something had to happen in the first 3 weeks of the Premier League.
Yeah.
Disaster.
I mean, it's the same old shit, you know what I mean? It's going to be old news. Like, as a podcast, we want to talk about new shit, but VAR, it's going to be the same shit.
That's what I'm saying, no, but I'm just saying how bad it is
that
I know. You could literally talk about it every single week without fail.
Yeah, like, we used to be a football podcast. I went on God knows how many rants about VAR. God knows how many rants about it. But I'll say it one last time. Probably not, but just crap it. Just crap it.
Yeah.
Bring it back to what it was before VAR, do you know what I mean?
Well,
VAR actually made it worse.
The thing then with that then, right, you take VAR out and then you'll have people complaining when the replays come up that he wasn't onside but he got called as offside. So either way, someone's going to complain somewhere, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if someone goes in for a 2-foot and the referee on the pitch misses that and he doesn't get sent off, that team's fans is going to be like, well, he should have been sent off.
It's too important right now, like there's like so much money on the line from wrong decisions, like change the whole. So if you miss out in Champions League or something because of a bad decision.
Yeah. One sec, I've seen.
But we missed out on the Premier League. Liverpool missed out on the Premier League from Rodri's handball. That now I'm not saying Everton scored that penalty. No, but honestly, if we're talking millimeters, Rodri.
Yeah, Ederson's in goal. Ederson can't.
No, I know. Yeah, but if he gets the penalty there, then Everton draw that game. Liverpool win the Premier League.
And then, like you know, that could be the. That can be the look at the manager if it's a successful season or not. Like those decisions can come back to. So like, I'd rather be able to have all the information. If they still get it wrong, then like, holy shit. Yeah. But if you like the Roy Carroll thing, the one that went over the line, he like scooped the back across and shit. Like that can't be happening either. Like, you need it for that kind of shit.
Oh, I need to find it. I've seen something.
What is it?
Right, yeah. All right. So last season, right? Remember the Chelsea Tottenham that hair pull? Right, so Mike Dean said this.
I
missed the stupid hair pull at Chelsea versus Tottenham, which was pathetic from my point of view. I didn't want to send Anthony up because he's a mate as well as a referee, and I didn't want any more grief than he already had.
That's not what you say. It's not what you say in an interview from a ref.
Like, then I was watching Sky Sports News and the same thing. They were like, you can't be saying he's your mate and all. And then he's trying to beat around the bush. And he's like, no, I didn't mean it in that sense. People are taking out of context. What's out of context there?
What part of he's my mate? Did you not put it in context? Like?
I mean, who edited the Blaine interview? Who decided to publish
Simon
that?
Simon Jordan put it out. It was on Simon Jordan's podcast. He doesn't give a fuck.
No, man.
You know what I mean? You say whatever you want on that, it's going.
His Eddie Hearn interview is a quality, man. Good. They go hard at each other.
He's brilliant, though. Look, don't really like him, but he is brilliant at what he does. And he knows exactly how to play.
An Arsenal fan headbutted Roy Keane.
Did you see Micah Richards grabbing him?
Yeah, I did. It's the only bit I saw.
The clip of Micah Richards and he has him by the scruff of the neck saying something to him. Now, I didn't hear that in the video.
I heard your man broke his own nose headbutting Roy Keane. Like, he'd never done it before. Just goes in with his nose.
It's probably headbone like a little bitch.
Yeah, not doing it right. I would like Roy Keane, bottom of the list.
The way you do it, I think it's hair.
It's the crown, crown of your head.
Right here. That's how you headbone people.
That's the hardest part of your skull.
Yeah,
the hardest part
of the skull, and then you hit them right in the nose.
Yep, mm-hmm. and that's how you do it. You need like I don't even know. It's like 6 pounds or 7 pounds of pressure to break a nose. So it's nothing. Nothing like a nice headbutt. And if you hit it nice and he falls back, it's a lovely one. Yeah.
And by the way, we don't condone headbutt.
No.
I've never thrown one. I've just received. I've only received.
We're not liable in that, and do you know what I mean? We're not liable in that. Just want to make it clear.
Yeah. A lot of kids around Dublin being like, no, the crown here. Hey.
But come here, since you were talking about visuals and all that, what's your advice? Because we want to take a visual one of the days in the near future. What's your advice in terms of lighting, camera quality, stuff like that?
The camera quality thing is, like, the standard is so similar now. Like, you can get, there's obviously the huge range, like 10 grand cameras that are like cinema quality. And then there's like the low level, like even phones now, like the new iPhone does 4K, like, which is incredible resolution for video. So like right now you could pick up a camera for fucking 400 quid and it would do the job perfectly. So the level's gotten a lot lower for what's necessary, but it's more so not overthinking it and being like, I need 10 grand to get this started. You could get started with visuals for 500 quid easy,
mm-hmm.
maybe less. I know people that record all their stuff on their phones,
and they shoot it off, didn't I?
That's what I think. I was thinking about just
for clips and TikTok and stuff like that, and just for putting the word out there, most of it just through that, you know what I mean? Because as you said, it is one of the good cameras,
I don't need to see the guy's fucking pores of his face. Do you know what I mean? I just need to see him talking. You don't need like crazy high, huge grade cameras. I don't think personally. I just want to see the guys talking. That's all that matters. And the good ones I've watched have been like little webcams up in the top of the room and stuff. Like, that's perfect.
Yeah.
And then let it grow as it grows. But right now, I don't think you would try to overcomplicate it.
No.
I didn't get to this stage. I've always been to the thought that like, let it get to the point where it's undeniable that I need to go up. But right now, if you had access to two phones or your mate has a camera that he can use, you can set it up one on a tripod, one wide there, and just let that run the whole time.
Yeah. I think it's perfect.
Yeah. There you go. See, that's what I was saying, Chase. Just get the iPhone to start off anyway.
Yeah. I think people overcomplicate it a lot. And it's only when you're in there.
It's looking at other podcasts and thinking there's so much going on in that, but there's actually not. Mm. It's simplified. Like, if you look at, say, True Jordy, and you think, like, there must be cameras everywhere and stuff like that. It's probably just three cameras.
But he's, just for reference, he's probably spending somewhere around 20 grand a month on production.
Yeah.
Something like that. So, like, that's the level he's at to give that quality, which is unbelievable, but that's so much overhead for podcasts.
For me, that's probably the best quality we've ever seen.
His is beautiful. That would be probably one of the first podcasts I watched where I was like, holy shit, man, he's doing this right.
Yeah,
it's probably like, the only one in terms of quality visuals. Like,
the visuals is brilliant, and it's so simple, you know what I mean? It's just him on his table with somebody else, and it looks brilliant.
Do you watch his content?
Yeah.
Do you watch?
Yeah.
I only watched the...
I met him when I was over.
Oh, fuck me,
So I was one of his biggest fans, obviously, before all the stuff that happened recently, but I was one of his biggest fans. Mm. So we went to the KSI, was two fights one night, went to KSI, went over to London, me and my missus and one of the boys, and when we were in the hotel, just turned out we were staying in the Fighters Hotel.
Mm.
So standing, having a drink at the bar after the fight, so, Here he comes. I couldn't believe him, man.
Is he afraid of a thing? Is he huge?
Oh, he's unit, yeah.
Nice guy.
Yeah, oh, brilliant he was. Like, having a laugh with me, missus talking to me, myself as well.
Comes across great.
It was unbelievable. And, like, Ben Foster, and I met all of them over there that night. Mm. But just him, seeing him and that, being able to talk to him for a minute was brilliant, you know what I mean?
Have you watched his? He started it with, like, his first ones was a room like this, very similar to this, like a room they rented out.
The bombshell,
exactly. So, like, he started off like this and he was getting, you know, million views on episodes before he even moved up to his bigger thing. Mm-hmm. So it just shows.
Yeah, but still, the camera quality is unbelievable in that as well.
Mm. But compared to what he's doing now, like, those are cinema-grade cameras he's shooting on now.
Yeah.
So that's, like, you know, that fucking 20 grand a camera, that kind of shit. And he has seven
well.
Of them or something. Because when they do the kickoff and all, like, they've got five lads on the table. You got to have a wide, you got to have up tight on each one. They're personal all different cameras. Yeah. So that's six just on that episode. Like, so
that's nuts.
It's great, but he's got to be bringing in money. So, like, surely, when he has the issues with, like, advertisers and stuff, like, that kills him because he's so financially invested in it.
Yeah.
Whereas, like,
I'd say that time with all that show, you just gone. I'd say that hurt a lot.
And your man Lawrence bailed.
Yeah,
he's out now. He was the producer kind of thing as well. So it's not nice.
No.
To be honest, like, it does hurt seeing Lawrence being gone. But to be honest, I'm kind of happy as well. I didn't like Lawrence at all during the whole thing. I just didn't like him.
I got why he was there. I understand why he's there because Brian's so brash that you kind of need someone to just level it a little bit.
Yeah.
But he did, like, he ripped on some stream, I remember. It's like a charity stream. After that, I was like, man, what are you doing? Like, I actually do get it because he's like, I know all this shit and I know how it could look great. But, like, one, it's for charity. Two, like, these are just, like, the two blokes trying to do their thing. So, like, even if you can do better, you don't fucking point that out. Or be like, I want to get involved and help you guys make it better.
Exactly, yeah.
Don't just be like, this looks shit. I don't know who these lads are.
Yeah.
I think.
Well, it was over. What was over? It was over the commentary and the way it looked, wasn't it? That he was, like, shitting on.
They were trying to fix the grade, the colour grade, because it was real sunny that day. So they were trying to get the colours better and they were doing it midstream.
Right.
And he was like.
And they were slagging off some of the players as well.
Yeah, who is this guy and all that shit? Come on, man. Who are you?
No offense.
No offense.
He's always been known as Brian.
Yeah.
Brian's bitch.
As a bitch, yeah.
Just as you're known as mine.
That's the way
I always wanted to get back at him. I always wanted to get back at him. That last day. Episode, he fucking roused me, you know.
What did you say, though?
Call me fucking mad and that rats.
No. Where did you go with the thing? You stuttered your words, wasn't it? That's where I took the piss out of you.
Oh, this is lovely. I don't get any fucking back and forth. I don't even get to talk to anyone else.
Yeah,
so that's this is lovely.
On your
like.
Own, yeah.
Yeah, man. It's all solo act. Yeah. Like.
When did I say that?
Calling me mad.
That's
the last episode.
Oh, yeah. Well, when they went to the garden,
Yeah, because me egg got gaffed.
His egg got gaffed, yeah, that's what he said. So he was talking about his gaff getting egged. Then he goes, me egg got gaffed. So I nearly had to say anything else.
And then what, you rang the guards?
And then
like?
His man, dad went to the police and I was just like, oh, little rats, but that's the context for that anyway.
That's fucking gas. Gotta keep it straight, man.
Yeah.
I know, I got my car, people, you probably know this more. You know lads used to get like flour and eggs and put on the top of your car and it would bake in the next day. I got that done to me one night and I remember chasing them up the road and then they stopped and I ran back in. So the BOM will get back here. You're a dead man. And then the car, two red lights. I was like, oh, fuck. Ran back into my car. They could have done anything to the car. Yeah. I wasn't getting back out. They get out. They're like, what? Sorry. Not you, man. The other car. Sorry. You just keep going.
And where are you living? Don't mind me asking.
I'm living in Rialto now.
Yeah.
So I'm only.
It's a nice eh?
Yeah. It's fucking like compared to where I grew up in Knockline and then moved to Ballantyre, and then moved into Rialto, and that's like it's lovely, but it's got like there's some magic going on. Like the rubbish and shit's so bad there now.
Yeah.
Just because we no one has bins, so you have to use these bags. So you buy these like bin bags,
city
but they're yellow
bags,
with city
Eddie
bags.
Or something, yeah.
So the problem is half the fucking cunts on the road. Sorry, can I curse on this?
Yeah. Anything you want.
They put it out in the road. It's Monday's collection day, and then Wednesday they'll lob out like four bags. Thing just gets milled by like rats and all. Like,
oh yeah.
And you're like, you can't prove who it was. So like every time you go, you're like who the fuck? But like, there's no way of proving it. So that's a bit mad. But the area's class, man. I'm right on the Lewis. I can walk into town every day, 10 minutes from my office.
Handy.
So it's quality. Like, I think weed's basically legal there. because it's wild. Yeah, I can't walk to the shop without some lad with a bong. Hey, Dave. Wild. But it's a mad little area because it's like a load of hard lads and then also like guys with like dangly earrings. So it's like half in the middle of being gentrified. I'm like, man, what are you doing walking down the road? And like they were walking down like three of the lads, a load of like Brazilians, and there's like one road which has like really pot like nice new bar, and then right up the road is where all the boys have smoked joints outside Centre, throwing shit across
from
the road.
One extreme to the next.
Like I'll see lads, the load of lads, they get digestives and they'll walk up the road and they just ping them at cars, and that's kind of their buzz. I remember walking past my missus one time, I was like, what are you doing? Like pinging the things into people's windows.
Jesus.
I was like, what's going on, man? Like a snowball, maybe.
Oh, I really remember when the snow was in Summer Hill, man.
The snow's a disgrace.
Like. Oh, buses getting like they press the emergency exit on the bus so all the doors start opening. They're launching snowballs into the bus, like coming home, walk on the bus, smack of a snowball.
It's all in good fun.
Have a bit of crack.
Yeah, and then they try to chase you, they're just like slipping the whole way back there. It's gas. But no, it's great buzz. I really enjoy living there now.
Yeah.
And like right, since being back in Dublin now, I'm like currently in love with the city. But there's been periods I'm like, fuck, gotta get out of here.
Yeah.
So it's just funny how that works. It's ebbs and flows the whole time.
Yeah.
Actually, what made you want to come back to Dublin? Because you've been living in Marbella for a couple of years.
So the plan for Marbella was only ever to be a year. That was the plan, just go for 1 year, me and my missus, because we both work online. And then basically we did a year and a half. We got rent on this unbelievable apartment for like no money. And it was by far the nicest place I'll ever rent. Like, it was beautiful. Two bathrooms, one big bedroom, like, beautiful spot. The same rent I'm paying in Dublin now for a fucking cottage, like, three rooms. So, like, Jesus. Crazy. And then, so we signed a year and a half long lease on that. And then at about May this year, I was like, fuck, I need to go home, man.
Yeah.
It's just not the place. It's like living on holidays.
Yeah,
everyone's in flip-flops. All your mates are coming over and they just want to party and session the whole time. You're trying to, like, work.
You're trying to live your life, yeah.
And so it was only ever supposed to be a year long thing, and then we were like, that's it now.
Yeah.
But Dublin was just getting a little bit after COVID. I was like, I gotta get out of here for a bit.
Yeah.
Because like it was still locked down when I left. So it was still you have to have a sandwich when you go into the pub. Spain wide open.
Yeah.
Wide open.
Brilliant.
Nightclubs,
everything.
All that shit.
Yeah.
Wide open.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Actually,
how
I remember during lockdown, all the Irish influencers went to Spain. Glenn Killen, they all
I shot with
Spain.
All them, yeah.
Yeah.
That was it. They all just flock over there. It's like influencer paradise over there, man. It's wild.
Yeah.
But it's also that's all that's over there. It's like all lads wandering about.
Lipsa lives over there, does he?
He does,
yeah.
I was in that cafe a few times.
I've seen you done an episode with him as well.
Nice spot. Yeah. Nice spot.
Yeah.
Crazy. Like even one of the other reasons we came back is my girlfriend's auntie got sick, and then within about 3 months she actually died from like got cancer. Within 3 months she passed. So that was a shit time. But that even in the last like year or so of that, I've been like, I need to just every day be like, this is class.
Yeah.
I get to, I'm lucky to be here today, whatever happens tomorrow. And I do try to live in that as much as I can. It's really fucking hard
because
like life's getting tougher. Yeah. But it's if you can get to that mindset, and you'll even figure this out. Like I'm 28, so I feel like if I'd known this 10 years ago, I would have saved so much worrying about shit and like this isn't going to work and this, you know. It's funny how that works. But it just takes, as you said, takes age, and then you're like, hopefully you're going to start realizing
you
this
look back
sooner than we will.
Jesus,
but there's people who are 60 fucking years of age who are like,
still haven't figured anything out.
I wasted it all, man.
Yeah.
And I don't want that.
No.
No matter what, I don't want that to be the case.
No.
It's now or never, do you know what I mean? You have to start now instead of procrastinating and delaying it. You just have to do it now.
You can drop tomorrow, man.
That's
and
it.
There's more cases every
None
day. Like even
promised.
Tomorrow's never promised, so live for today.
How many people have we seen like drop? Like the lads who are on holidays there in Michael's, one of the lads, two lads died. And then in that car right there, just after leaving Cert Result in Tipperary, car flipped, four people dead. Like, it's fucking crazy. And just in the snap of a finger, like, that's
gone.
You know, and our lives all move on. But that family is fucking destroyed for the rest of their lives. So, like, life's cruel that way.
Yeah. And as well, it's nice getting out of my bed because influencers, they live fake lives. No disrespect to any of them, but I just feel they live fake lives. Do you know what I mean? So it's nice to get out of that and get back to reality.
I did find that...
More
that
humility in Dublin.
Humility 100%. And that's just because people in my bed are usually more wealthy and like financially free, which means that their day-to-day struggles are very different. And like...
If any.
Yeah, exactly. Or like it's hard to get charged up to do work when you're like, I'm living in my like... huge gaff, I've no financial stress, I can do what I like. And that if I had that, I feel like I'd change as a person.
Same as yourself. I think the motivation for doing actual work would go, you know what I mean? Like, I work long hours as it is. This podcast for me is not work though, you know what I mean? So I look forward to this, but I feel like if I did have all of that, I don't need to be doing any of that, you know what I mean?
I feel like being strapped is fucking keeps you like going. Do you know what I mean? And like, it's still like, I remember being like 19, being like, oh man, when I'm 25, whew, I'll be minted. Yeah, I'll have my own gap. And now I'm 28 and I'm like, I have less money than when I was 18.
Yeah.
How is that even possible? Yeah. You finish the leaving.
It feels like that though, doesn't it? Now that we have more money, when we were younger, you used to be able to do whatever you wanted at 18. Mm. Go to nightclubs 3 nights a week, 4 nights a week. Now I can't even get 1 night out a month.
now your phone's out, you need to top up your phone like 20 quid.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Oh, fuck, okay. Didn't budget that into my 60 for the 2 weeks. Like, bollocks, man.
Yeah, no, I love it.
Yeah, see how you said it's all back and forth and all, because obviously we do a podcast together. Yeah. And you just
it's easier for us to...
The more people, the more you bounce off.
Yeah. Mm.
How did you find it when you're doing it on your own?
It just depends. Like, I used to do solo podcasts and just talk for 40 minutes into the camera about topics. And they're still up there, and they're fucking dog shit, like so bad. But like, I had to do it. Now I don't feel it at all when I do like podcasts. I don't get nerves or anything like that. But at the start, because I used to do all the talking, and now I have guests on, and like, it's not my job to talk all the time. So I get a bunch of comments being like, you need to fucking shut up and let the guests talk. And I'm trying to find that balance of like, I don't want to just do an interview with someone, because I think they could do an interview with 10 people and they'll all be the same.
Yeah,
we're just doing
that's
that.
We always say that, don't we? It's like, trying not to interview. Obviously, sometimes when it goes a bit quiet, you're going to need a question to keep things going. But try and make it conversation and a bit.
But if you're not a factor, which like the full-time podcast, if you guys aren't a factor, like you're the only thing that differentiates you from me doing a podcast with 10 other people. So it's yous that make it different. So if you decide I'm going to bring no personality and just ask questions, what stops you me going on to like the radio tomorrow and answer the same questions, and then it's an identical podcast? So I kind of look at it that way. Even if people tell me to shut up, I'm like, you can listen to him on 10 other episodes, but I'm going to do the way I think it works.
Yeah.
And for better or for worse.
And it's been working. So obviously all that talking into the camera helped though, didn't it? Like, that's where I found I wouldn't speak in front of people. Probably would have never done this 5 years ago, you know what I mean? It's just too awkward, but talking into the camera and speaking about, say, mental health or speaking about serious topics actually helped me go and speak in front of people and actually come here and do this, you know what I mean? So it obviously helped for yourself as well.
I'm trying to think now back to the first interviews I did was back during COVID. I had like a few of my mates on who have businesses, and they, even in those, because they were my mates, it was much easier to flow. But I did one with, do you know Joss Mooney? Do you know who that is? He's like, Joss was Mooney on like X on the Beach and like shows like that in my bed.
I've seen the yoke.
Yeah, that one I remember being like, I'm nervous for that. Because I was like, are these questions any use? Is he going to have any kind of crack? He loved it. So like, but before that, I remember like 2 days before sweating about getting that done. And like, will I cancel? So I
self-doubt.
Every week, man. Every time I do one. And then it takes, I almost put like a pressure on myself by asking guests. I force myself to ask them. And then when they say, I'm never going to cancel one. So I'm already invested. So like down the line, I'm like, look, you invested in this. You need to do it. But every time I do a podcast, I'm like, this
is good to admit it though to yourself as well. And like,
I'm under no illusions that I'm like God's gift to podcasts or anything like that. But I do enjoy it, and I'm going to keep doing it, so...
That's like myself, but he always talks about it as well. The nerves kick in just as you're about to go in, like, even walking over here sometimes, it can be like...
Oh. Nerves are good, though. Yeah. Anything, it's just your body preparing for a performance. That's all nerves are.
Yeah.
So, like, that's what Ian Gary said in the podcast, actually. I was like, that's actually true. Yeah. It is, but that's your body being like, this thing you're about to do matters to you, and the outcome matters, so I'm going to prepare you with like adrenaline and all this, make sure you're on your best performance. Like, that's what your body's doing. Mm. I think if you look at it that way, then you start to realize, like, I care about this, clearly. If I'm getting nervous, I care. Yeah. If I don't get nervous, then
and
I don't care.
Was that one you were talking about with Joss Mooney, was that the most daunting one you've had? Or has there been one where you're really like,
Marcus Sweeney, that one, Marcus Sweeney was also like that. More so, I was like, what is about to happen here?
What's he going
to say? That was genuine fear. The other ones weren't, but that one I was like this. I genuinely didn't know, because he just arrives at my office. So every day, like, he'll be like outside and I have to go out. And that's the first time you're like, who am I about to like shake hands with?
Yeah.
But yeah, that one I was a little bit, I just didn't know how it was going to go. But all the other ones have been fine.
Yeah.
And everyone's so sound that I've had on. No one's tried to like be combative or anything like that. Like all them, as soon as I'm 10 minutes into any podcast, I'm like, I'm so glad I did this.
Yeah.
That hasn't not happened yet.
I hope it does.
So it's all been good, but it's the nerves are important, man. If it's not worth doing if you're not getting nervous.
Yeah. Definitely, you get nervous, don't you? A lot when the podcast coming up.
The last
up, like,
two episodes, I haven't been nervous
at all.
Felt comfortable now. Yeah. Feel more comfortable. Obviously, when
it's rich, but that's a good thing though, because you feel like you're getting better. You know that you're not going to be fearful of
definitely
who
a lot
you're talking
more confident
to. Like,
now, but yeah. You know what? I'll definitely be afraid again once we do.
Of course,
because that's something I've never done before. Yeah. A visual podcast. You know what I mean? Yeah. So that one will definitely be nervous. Mm. Show me face in front of the camera. So yeah, it's all about growing and improving.
Mm. Sitting down in front of a camera is really daunting anyway, isn't it?
Yeah.
you'll forget about it after 10 minutes. Yeah, as soon as you get into it, you forget about it. And then after, like, try doing a podcast and then doing it and then be like, fuck, the camera cut out after 10 minutes. And you're like, because you can't bottle that episode and do it again. So it's just gone. So I think it'll only do good things for you. Generally, what you do, it'll only do good things. And if you need any help on any of that shit, I'm very happy to help with whatever I can help with.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be great. As we level up, we definitely need some advice in terms of cameras and stuff like that. Because we have a certain vision when it comes to visuals and all of that. Mm. Like, it's a bit similar to True Geordie. I don't want to be True Geordie exactly like copying, but something similar to that. Not in terms of quality now, but in terms of like where I want
the aesthetic. Yeah.
It's just beautiful to the eyes, isn't it?
Now, that thing, again, like that.
Now we're at the sign about it.
That kind of flat in London is crazy money. Outrageous, yeah. I'd say. But like he had so much space, and he decided to live in his studio. So he has like the floor above is his like room and stuff, and then downstairs is all work. So I guess that was how he could justify the spend. He's like, I'm just going to live at the studio.
The apartment, the on video, it's just fuck me, man. Yeah, it's unbelievable. Just the way it looks, even from the inside, as we're at the main side, is mental. Like.
Yeah. And Camille, we are talking about how Irish podcasts are small, and it is. Like, you see Irish TikTok now that it's growing. You see Nasty's starting to break into the American market and all that. Why are podcasts so small here and then TikTok is so big? And I'll tell you why, right? It's because they're united together, do you know what I mean? Mm. They all work together. Why are the UK successful? Why are America successful in podcasts? It's because they all work together. They all cooperate.
Look, my example of that is, and I'll always go back to it, is because I think it's perfect. The comedian side of the English podcast, they done it first. Well, from what I've seen first, is the likes of Adam Rowan, Dan, their podcast, they start getting all other comedians on, then them comedians start opening their own podcast, and then they all start guesting on each other's podcast, and then all of a sudden you have six or seven English comedian podcast that you're like, jeez, this is very good, you know what I mean?
That's the US model. Have you seen the US comedians? So like Bobby Lee and all, and
Bert, Tom Segura,
all those guys. That's it. But like that's how Joe Rogan basically built five huge podcasts just from his five mates who he brought on the podcast.
Yeah.
Like if you look like Kill, you know what Kill Tony is? Have you heard that show?
I've heard, yeah.
Tony Hinchcliffe does like a stand-up show called Kill Tony, which is it's like the biggest thing that they're like on the comedian scene. Like every episode is like 2 hours long and gets 2 million episodes every week. So like they all network together, and that should prove to everyone that like you've got Two Bears, Your Mom's House, Bobby Lee's one.
Is the Kill Tony where they're on stage?
I
know it, yeah.
But he's got like all those episodes all blew up because Joe Rogan's blew up, and they just knew the personalities through that podcast. So that should, like, if that doesn't show people like that's what this should be as a podcast scene, I don't get it, because that should be part, like, and it's perfect example. And the UK lads are doing the same thing, that this should be
Irish people, it's like, mine's gonna be the best. I'm gonna make mine the best, and I'm gonna do everything I can to make mine the best. Therefore, I just worry about myself. You know
it's
what I mean?
So hard.
That's what I used to be, to be fair. I want to be the best. Now that I've done the podcast, The War and Love Matured, I was like, that doesn't matter. I want Ireland to be the best. Yeah. Not me.
Yeah.
The whole country. And the only way to do it is to all come together. We all come on each other's podcast. Like, you come on ours, and we'll come on yours soon. Mm. I've had the boys on Three Left Feet on their podcast, and they will come on theirs soon. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's all about cooperating, working together, coming on each other's podcasts.
Yeah.
I just want us to come together. I want us to rise up and put Ireland on the map. We look at DJs. Belt is only. What are Belt is only doing right
Belt
now?
Is only
they're
flying.
Helping other
Irish
DJs.
Irish athletes are flying. Yep.
Why?
Irish musicians are flying.
The music scene is fucking
But
nuts
in terms
right
of
now.
DJing, what our Belt is only doing right now? They're helping other DJs. You see, Irish only.
Mm.
They're helping all them up and coming DJs out. Look at Ev Oil now. Ev Oil's blew up because of them.
I'm having
we
him on my podcast.
Yeah.
He's due on my podcast.
I'd love to bring him on.
Yeah. He's got, and I've never spoken to like a DJ, like DJ. I'm so intrigued about the whole lifestyle and shit.
Have you ever had big sponsorships around? Speaking on that.
Actually, funny enough, I actually got a CBD company that got onto me, and I was like, they were like, can we, they'd sponsored, I think they were like, it'll do 100 quid an episode or something. And I was like, I don't know if, like, this is the good. Well, all right, there's little comment, CBD. Do you know what I mean? I don't know if I want that to be my first one, but like, I got back to them, we'll see what happens. But like, it just seems that I could alienate some people being like, that's a sponsor, but also who gives a fuck? Like, if a Viagra company got onto me,
a lot of the times when you're watching like YouTube videos, you'll skip the ads.
Anyways,
you know what I mean? Yeah. So for me, I don't think I'd care. Listen, 100 quid an episode, that's my studio rent for this episode.
100%.
You know what I mean?
We'd actually be able to do it every week. You both retire.
Like, we did it. Yeah. I don't fucking believe it.
Tenner a week. Thank you, £100. Oh, I love it.
1,200 quid a year, split two ways. You just live off it.
You'd be mad not to, though. Honestly, if you were getting good money, though.
That's €28 a week, lads. We're rich.
Yeah. Have you ever reached out to sponsors yourself? No.
No.
Never.
I don't think I'm at... I'm not, like, oblivious to the fact that, like, my views aren't where they need to be for sponsors.
Yeah.
But also, there's so many businesses out there now that could have no social media presence whatsoever. So, like, I feel like what I'm going to try and offer is, like, I'll run ads on my podcast. I'll also shoot you content, like, as a videographer, I'll shoot you content so you have social presence as well. Yeah. And like, that I think could be a way for me to make good money. So that's the way I think I could do it. But like, right now, no. And like, after the Marcus Sweeney episode, probably never. probably never happen.
Actually, going to the Marcus Sweeney episode, we talked about it all. It got taken down by YouTube for defamation.
It did.
What's the story with that?
Here's all I know, and I'll tell you what I know. I upload the episode, I upload a clip, and the episode's coming out the next day. That day, Nick Letallant follows me on Twitter and follows me on fucking LinkedIn. And then the next day, the episode goes up, and there's only one person that gets any sort of like negative words from Marcus, and that was her. So the stars have aligned too much, and then I get a notification saying that it's get down for defamation. So like, you don't need to be a detective to be like, something's up.
Rats.
But like, I do get it. But also, like, if you run, like, let's just say she's wrong about Marcus Sweeney, you have a podcast dedicated to saying how dangerous and like, you know, a criminal this guy is. If you're wrong, you're doing the same thing I did, and Marcus Sweeney's not reporting her for defamation.
No.
So it's almost like, if we're gonna play fucking keep your piece together, like, and the ball comes to you, like, you got to be able to take it as well.
Yeah.
That's what was my thought on it. I'm tempted to just be like, hey, just out of interest, like, did you report my episode?
And or do you want to come on and talk yourself?
I'd love that as well. I don't think she would.
No.
But like, it's not like I was like, if you watch the episode, like, I didn't push on any of that shit. I just let him kind of say what he wanted to say.
Yeah.
But yeah, it doesn't make a big deal to me. The video still killed it for the first like 5 days. So yeah. it's my best episode so far.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Do you remember how many views it got?
Yeah, it's on about 1,000 right now after a week. That's just video views, and then it got like 600 audio downloads. So Jesus. Like it did some bits, and then and Spotify's still there, so go listen on Spotify.
Yeah. quick plug.
But I've never got one before. I've never got any sort of like YouTube thing before about that. So that was interesting.
What's your most interesting guest, speaking of interesting?
Simo was interesting. Simo was very interesting to me because
had Simo on the podcast.
It's very interesting. Just his story. Did he tell you a story about the studio getting robbed?
He went in
for about 40 minutes about like how the second studio they had got robbed by these like two lads, and they robbed the place, and then he told they found him, and then the next day he said the guys who robbed it, they were like, oh, there was so much stuff to take, we came back on Sunday and came back and robbed more shit. And he just told that story about him like finding them and like getting all the stuff back, and it was just wild. But he just has a very interesting outlook on life, and he's very different to me. He has like a kid, is trying to like make this go as also having like a kid and a full-time job. And it's just interesting to talk to people like that. He was great. I've had like a few of my mates on, like Phil, his good friend of mine, is a personal trainer. He just had a kid, and that was like a completely different episode. But hearing him talk about that is crazy.
Yeah.
And just, he's the same age as me. We grew up together. Now he has a daughter, and like how his life has changed. So I like that as well. I like human episodes when you talk about stuff like that.
Stuff, yeah.
So those two are great. I've got a couple coming up that I'm very interested in. Do you know who Aaron Rowe is? He's like a musician. He's on like TikTok, so he's quite small. But he's coming on next week, and I've been listening to him for a while. He's kind of like, you know, Keen to Crew, like those lads.
Yeah, yeah. It's similar to that. Man that's blown up.
Very similar to that. Yeah. And so he's coming on. He's going to do like a musical performance on it. So I'm buzzing for that.
Oh, lovely stuff.
Yeah, they've all been great. I genuinely do love them all, like my kids. But they've just I get as much out of the human ones as I do about like. You know,
and
like
big people,
yeah, lads having crazy stories. I get as much out as some lad being like, I've worked in, you know, I've been a groundsman for a football club for 50 years, yeah. And here's my stories about that. Like, I genuinely would get as much out of that. Yeah. So, they've all been great, genuinely.
Yeah. And see how I was talking about the messages like people want to convey for their podcasts. What's the message that you want to put out for your podcast?
I genuinely don't. I have a very like normal like impression of myself where I don't think I'm like, I don't think I have any information like Joe Rogan that I can, that's good, more than someone else could offer. I think the only thing I'm good at is conversating with people, trying to bring a unique perspective to it and like being a conversationalist. So I don't put too much pressure on myself to be like, I need to provide advice for young men on how to like be happier and stuff. Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to figure that out myself.
Yeah.
So I don't want to come across as like, this lad has a microphone, he knows it all. Like, it couldn't be less the case. I'm trying to figure it out, but all I know is I enjoy doing it. Yeah. So,
and that's the main thing.
And people seem to get a kid out of it. Like, the views go up every week, more people are subscribing. So like, I'm going off that and the reaction people have to the episodes, but it's not because I offer way more than someone else would. I think a lot of people could do this if they had the enjoyment and confidence to do it. I just get a kick out of doing it, which is great.
I think that's what it's like for everyone, though, isn't it? It's the enjoyment of this. Like, coming in here, just having a chat with someone you've never met before, that you don't know personally, and just being able to chat for you.
Well, I've heard people come into me and be like, oh, it'd be great to get into that for the money. I was like,
listen, if we were in it for the money, we wouldn't be fucking sitting here.
You'll be poorer after doing the podcast. That's a guarantee. You will have less time and you will make less money. Yeah. That's a fact.
If you want the money, you'll be in it for a few years, I tell you that much.
It's boring to say, but everyone's like, oh, don't even worry about money for the first 5 years.
You're
like,
plus, most people quit after, what, 10, 20 episodes?
I heard seven episodes.
Seven's
the average.
And then people bail out.
We always go back, though. We probably mentioned this.
Nearly on 50.
Yeah. See, I cheated with the few of the solo ones I did, which were like, guest-wise, I think I've done like 30. Yeah. But then I did solo ones up to about like 25 or something. So I'm on about 55 right now.
Yeah.
And... but like, it doesn't get any easier. And like, sometimes like on a Thursday night, you're like, fuck man, I've got a podcast coming in here in an hour. I've been in the office since 9. It's now 7 o'clock. Podcast starts at 8. I'm not going to get home till 11:30. And then in the next day and edit that whole thing up. So like, it's not easy. And like, I almost want to document that more for people to be like, oh, fuck that. That's a lot of grind. Like,
a lot of people do think podcasts are easy. That's what I thought when I first started. It's a lot harder. It's a lot harder than I first expected. Mm. It's so hard, but I'll tell you what, it's so worth it.
I love the lads. You see, I get comments all the time where like, I'll put something up and they'll be like, hey bro, let's start a podcast. Like, you know, like everyone says that, but when two people have an opinion on anything, they start a podcast.
Yeah.
And I never, I'm trying to think if I did, but I never thought like, I'll be great at this. I don't think I was ever like, I'd be an excellent podcast host. Yeah. I don't think that was ever the case.
No.
I think I was like, I want to do something in front of camera. I'm not going to vlog and like walk around Dublin vlogging. So like, podcast seemed to make the most sense. And I had the production experience to be able to make it look good.
Yeah.
So that was that. Right now, I'm just in a bit of a like snowball of like, I'm just going to keep doing it and like come up for air in a year and see what's happening. Yeah. That's kind of the plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. It's
pretty good one.
Yeah. And as well, one of the questions we have, you mentioned it briefly on the podcast, but you never went into detail. What's the development 15?
Oh my God.
That's fucking fair play, man. That's good research. So, in...
Oh, man.
Jesus.
All right. So, in fifth year in school, all my mates played rugby in school. And you know, I didn't play. I was fat fuck. And like, and I in fifth year, I was like, I'm going to give this a bash. I got a growth spurt and I was like, I'm going to give this a bash. And I went out. All the lads were going to senior training. And I, like, the first day I run out. And the coach is like... Boyers over here. And I was like, yeah, come over. And he goes, listen, I'm going to have you with the fourth years and some of the really good third years. So I'm 17. These kids are like 14, 15. And they go, listen, he's like, the coach was a funny lad, but he'd be like, I want you to go in, just lead these guys. And they were called the Development 15, which is basically use a shit. So like, use go over there, and then when the seniors need someone to bash the shit out of in a match, use come out and they can just run all over you. And so I did that, and we were like learning how to pass and shit, and that was shameful. I was like, this is fucking embarrassing. But I made such good mates out of that team, and then the next year I made the seniors and played the whole season. Okay. So it was a redemption story in the end. But like, that I remember when like all my mates were playing, I was like, we're gonna like, this is my chance to be in with all the lads, and then to be like, you're going down, you know, when you go to football and the A's are up here and then the B's are all down, like,
yeah,
blowing bubbles down the other side of the pitch, and they'd be like down there, and you have to run up and be like, oh, like I have like a half a beard,
yeah,
these lads are like, hey, you're down. I'm like, hold on a second. And then after that, like, it did, because like I was the only older one as well. So like everyone's like, oh man, that's kind of sad. Yeah. And but yeah, that's I actually really enjoyed it. And I played rugby then until I was like 24.
Yeah.
But it yeah, that was the moment. I went and they were like, you get in with the Development 15, D15.
Yeah. What a moment. Still playing your spare time?
No. It started to take such a toll on my body. It's so fucking, it's again, playing for free. Like, you get up on a Sunday, you fight other blokes basically on a Sunday, and then after you're like, holy shit, my back and my legs. And they get up on Monday, you're in bits, you've training that day. It just got too hard on my body basically.
Yeah.
And I wanted to do other things, put more time into my work and stuff, so I just couldn't. It wasn't maintainable. I do five-a-side at the boys now and during the week, and that does it for me.
Yeah.
But it just physically, unless you were playing at a really high level, it doesn't make sense. And I was kind of just like an extra work mule, so I just had to get in and just basically get beaten up for most of the game. It just wasn't worth it for me. I didn't love it enough. Like,
yeah. And Ireland are playing in the Rugby World Cup soon, aren't they?
Yeah.
So
this week it starts.
Yeah, they're playing
Romania.
Big rugby fan, are you?
I am. I like the we liked it in school, and then I like the fucking few pints watching the match and all that. Yeah. I do like that. And my dad was mad into it, so we just got into it together. And then, I started to know if you know Josh van der Fleer. He plays Ireland. He was in my school on the team that I played on. So I remember him like not being like Ireland level, anything like that. Yeah, and then suddenly he was like world player of the year. Couldn't handle the shit we do at D15 level. But no, he knew how to catch and like throw the ball. But he went I'll hold the ball. Like, that's not the problem. Hold the ball. You gotta, yeah. And he, but then suddenly he just fucking exploded into this like world player of the year is like, one player a year gets picked, and it's Josh van der Fleer from Wesley College. Like, that is
that's crazy, unbelievable. Like,
so hopefully he goes out now and we win the whole thing. But we're notorious bottlers, like, so we'll see.
Do you think we have a chance?
Yeah, definitely. As good a chance as we've ever had.
Mm.
Yeah. But we have the group of death, and we're gonna have to beat France, New Zealand, England, basically every class team to get to the final. So if we make it, we'll have one of the easiest finals we've ever had. But we've got to beat everyone to get to that. So it'll be great, and I'd love to see it. But rugby's so, because like Johnny Sexton is so like targeted in rugby now, he could get drilled in the first game by some Romanian butcher, and like his ankle's gone. Like, that changes our whole thing. So rugby's it's too injury prone for anyone to know for sure. But it'd be great, man. Look what happens when Ireland make the quarterfinals in football. Like, the whole country shuts down. Like,
I remember, what was the last one we were at?
Against Italy.
Goosebumps the header against Italy, and
they put the Titanic music over.
The whole pub, everyone's points went everywhere. Tables were turned upside down.
What was the one in the 70s? We got very far. My dad was talking about that. Maybe
Italian
the
90.
Yeah, my dad was like, people didn't get their post for 2 weeks. When that happened,
the whole country shut down.
He was like, my dad was like, on Monday morning, he's like, oh no, we're going to the pub. Like, no one went to work, and it was just kind of like, go on, go out, and like that. I love Ireland for that. I think that's unbelievable that we rally in so much. We remember the two rowers in the Olympics.
We
were like, everyone's picking up paddles and all. Like, everyone, like, it's, I love that we get so amped because if someone
so
manages
invested
to get,
into the people from this country,
watch Belters Only, man. Watch Belters Only now. Anytime they tour anywhere, if Belters Only there, I'll go. If I'm on holidays and they're there, just because they're Irish blokes, we do like support our arms.
Everything.
They're gonna play in the Tralee Arena. Oh, I can't go because I'm away on fucking holiday. days.
Well, look, even martial artists, like, looks of Ian Gary now, we don't get behind him, you know what I mean? Whereas people didn't like him at the start.
So people don't like him now.
A bit. Yeah, it's getting worse, but like, we do get behind. Man,
if you stand behind McGregor, you got to stand behind Ian Gary.
Oh, 100%.
Like. And there's no, I don't think there's very little. Did you see a man, Caelan Lochran, who fought yesterday and got booed on the way out?
Yeah.
I love that shit, man. Yeah. And I think I think Kiefer Crosby's fighting this weekend in Australia.
That's a mad one, isn't he? He's had to get signed to the UFC.
Go on, Kiefer.
Buzzing.
I think
absolutely.
He's not going to fucking listen to him. I'm not going to put any pressure on him. But
is it welterweight or lightweight?
He's fighting a welterweight. 170.
Oh, yeah.
If he goes in and does what I think, he could have a huge 5 years and be like the Molly McCann kind of buzz, which gets big fights, co-main events of fights. He could do that if he just does this right.
He has it all.
Yep.
He has it all. The speaking, the mouth, he believes in himself. He's the size of him as well. Like, he can scrap. He can
hard.
And he really, like, he can get hurt and keep going.
Hard
as
fuck.
Yeah.
Hard as fuck.
Some chin as well. Like, I've seen him fight live a couple of times and, like, he'd get some smacks and he'd just keep pushing forward.
I love it.
So, like, if he wins, I'm telling you, it'll be a good couple of years.
Would you a Dublin UFC, man? Would you one in the next, 2 years?
Well, like, if you think about it, though, Kiefer goes in there, does his job. Ian Gary's already doing his job. Like, he'll have
Sean Abannon's in the UFC.
I know she lost, but you have Conor.
You still have her, yeah.
You could make your literally 4 fights on the card.
Kieran
for the main
Clark.
Card. You could have Kieran Clark moving up to UFC.
Do you think Dublin UFC don't be pay-per-view or fight night? Because if it's fight night,
they do a pay-per-view.
Do a pay-per-view. Yeah.
Well, if you have McGregor as the main, Ian as the co-main, Kiefer as the third, Sean as the fourth, you nearly have a main card at the Irish fighter.
I suppose the Australia one now, they've Izzy. But like, that's a UFC Dublin. They'd sell it out and Two minutes. Yeah. Not even. You don't need to announce the whole card.
There's some prize for them UFCs. Yeah. Before COVID, remember?
Yeah.
We were supposed to have UFC Dublin before COVID and we were looking at getting tickets and like 200 quid.
Actually, they switched that to London.
Yeah,
I'm doing Cage Warriors in October. I'm going to that.
Yeah,
that was 80 quid or something. Man. I kind of thought that was almost like free. They want you to get in there. No, 80 quid. I was
Bellator
like,
is cheaper than that. Like,
I was like, I apparently there's a couple of belts on the line, like, but that'll be class. Man,
in
the three arena.
Yeah,
buzzing.
No, that's the Bellator does be lethal as well. I went to loads of Bellators. That does be unbelievable. Just the atmosphere, like, you know,
you've been to the darts.
No,
I went to
that's
the darts.
One thing that's on my list.
I went to the darts. I went to the darts in three arena, and one of the Irish lads hit a 9-darter.
The place
was under beer. Yeah. Like, every pint was in the air. Everyone's getting drowned, just like laughing. That was like the second match. There was another 9 matches. Yeah. Everyone's soaked. But he dropped that thing. He's like semi pro, and he just like. And then everyone's like, "Hold on a second, he's on like 6." And then it's no,
that can't be. Yeah,
people throwing their kids down and all.
Remember
like,
your man with "I can't speak." That's brilliant.
Can he speak?
Yeah.
There's no crowd like an Irish crowd. You know what I mean?
Facts.
No, definitely not. I'd say that. Yeah, 100%. Irish number one.
The French lads got after a little bit in Paris. That place was. They do the national anthem and thing, and that was class. But no,
they
not
ain't
like
Irish. Fuck that. They ain't Irish.
No, they aren't.
The English try to think they are, but they just upend everywhere they go, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
do you remember when we went to France, though?
We're cleaning up after all.
Yeah, just singing to the baby on the train and all, you know what I mean? Yeah. And then the English are dancing on the top of it and trying to blade smash the place.
If I can hope for one, I hope we stay like that. And I hope the new generation is like, I take a lot of pride in people going to like travel and people like, I love Irish fans. Yeah, I take a lot of pride in that. And like, I don't want to hear like load of Irish fans scrapping and all that shit. I want us to be like, have a great bit of crack.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Or even when you go on holidays though, and someone hears your accent in a pub and they're like, "I love Irish people. Have a drink. You know what I mean?
And actually half Irish.
Yeah.
Have you heard of Cork? I've heard of Cork. You're from Malibu. My grandpappy had a dog from Belfast. I was like, all right, man.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah, you're actually really good at accents.
I do a good American. I do a good American one. A good pissed off American woman. I've had enough of them screaming at me when I worked on a golf course over there.
Did you in America as well?
Yeah. And I would be all telling me, "Can you fucking, like, you guys are just sweating on the golf, like, get out of the way." And I'm really sorry about that. She goes, "Do you guys fucking have t-shirts that fit?" And I was like, "Hold on. First of all, pot kettle, you're huge." And like, we got given like 2 t-shirts for the whole job. I was like, I was shrunk in the wash. I worked 14-hour days in the heat every day. But we used to get screamed at so much. Yeah. You guys can't drink the lemonade, guys. They're for guests only. And we'd be like, "Fuck you." But no, that was good. Yeah, I have an American accent. That's about it. It's all I have in me.
Yeah.
You have a good Cockney accent as well.
Do I? What's a Cockney accent? You all right? No, that's I can do, like, I suppose. it's not bad. It's actually not bad.
That's not bad at all.
It's not bad at all. That's like Eddie Hearn.
Yeah, that's quality.
You're Essex boy.
Yeah.
Actually can do.
I love it.
Fuck this, I'm quitting the podcast. Yeah. Do fucking that for the rest of my life.
Oi, Sam, thank you very much.
My pleasure, lads. Thank you for having me.
I love that.
I love it. And I'll have you lads back on the paper and we'll do this again.
Lovely stuff.
We'll definitely deal with this.
Love that. All right, 100%. Boys. Appreciate your time, lads. Thank you.
Thank you. See you later, guys. Bye bye.
Tell the world and send me happy air, cause me want freedom, want freedom. Tell the world and send me want freedom, come, want freedom, want freedom. Tell the world and send me want freedom.